Welcome. Greetings. So yesterday, for All Saints Day, Danielle led us through a helpful reflection on those we call saints, these sort of Christian celebrities who teach us and inspire us with their stories. And now on All Souls Day, we're invited to reflect on our ordinary, unimpressive loved ones. People of faith who may have been saintly in their own private ways, but not so extraordinary that we hold feasts or write songs about them. This is the first time I've been asked to write a homily for All Souls Day, so I had some questions. And I asked our preaching professor, Micah, if he'd sit down with me to look at this passage and our traditions for this day and various scriptural views on what happens after we die. So we discussed verses that suggest the dead are immediately ushered into God's presence, and others that suggest that perhaps there's a time of waiting or preparation first. We discussed the gospel passage for today out of John, where Christ says, "The Father has granted the Son authority to execute judgment." And we talked about this idea that we'll be judged based on how we responded to the gospel and either allowed or denied entrance into heaven. And then we discussed theologians who suggest the mystery of the gospel may be this, that hell exists, but it's possible in the end, if we could look inside, we might find it empty. So I took a few days. I worked through these questions. I think we now maybe can finally answer them once and for all. So let's get started. On second thought, perhaps some mysteries are too precious to want to resolve. And to quote Micah, arguments about the good news are rarely, if ever, good news. Nevertheless, when our loved ones pass on, we do worry about them, don't we? We don't cease to care and think about them after they're gone. And we search for answers. So it can be comforting to hear Christ assure us in this passage that truly whoever believes has eternal life. That person does not come into judgment. And our practice of commemorating and praying for and remembering the dead can have a profound impact on those of us who are still living. Here's one example. Whenever we try to imagine eternity, we always bump up against the limitations of our human mind and our constructs about time and space and speed and relativity. And whenever we bump up against our limitations in understanding something, we're invited to trust. And that's a good thing. So the practice of reflecting on those who've gone before us can bring us into current active relationship with God, who we can trust cares about our loved ones even more than we do. Here's another example of how I think this practice can be helpful to us. It reminds us of our common humanity. And here's what I mean by that. The saints, with their extraordinary faith, they may be inspiring. They may also bring up our existential angst. We may wonder, how old was that saint when she had that incredible vision? And how many books did that one author write before he was my age? What we're asking is, how am I doing on my own personal journey towards sainthood? And those questions may be questions of our ego, but they're human and they're understandable. It's the drawback of reducing a complicated, imperfect life down to a series of two-dimensional stories. But I believe we can say this with some confidence. If we'd known the saints when they were alive, if we'd sat in class with them and tried to balance a budget with them, I believe we would find them just as frustratingly flawed and neurotic as we are. And yet, learning of their humanity, does it make their lives any less inspiring? On the contrary, it might make them even more so. Because we see the same spirit was at work in them, that's at work in us, and is at work in our ordinary loved ones. And so we might ask ourselves, is there a way in which even the smallest, most private feat of trust and love is worth celebrating? And if so, then it's possible even our faithful departed loved ones, each of them was living a private life worthy of 1,000 public feasts. There may be one final way in which this practice of reflecting on the departed can profoundly impact us, and that's found in the practical wisdom we might take and find in their lives. My daughter is 12, and she and her friends recently discovered the Broadway musical Hamilton, and it's a unique style for Broadway. So for those of you not familiar, this is the part where I sing a little bit of it for you. You think I'm joking, but I'm not. Here goes, okay? I'm not throwing away my shot. I'm not throwing away my shot. I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. That's all. That's it. So through these incredible hip-hop songs, we are learning intimate details about Alexander Hamilton, his family, his friends, and they were not the most famous, they weren't the most heroic, but they were complex human beings with strengths and weaknesses that got woven into the fabric of our nation, and we're reclaiming that wisdom, lest it be forgotten. It reminds me of something I recently remembered about my grandfather, who I loved, and I always thought we were very alike in our personalities. He was a thinker and a doer, but he didn't often slow down to feel his emotions until the very end of his life. And so when counselors and spiritual directors caution me that I sometimes might move so quickly through life that I forget to slow down and feel my feelings, I think to myself, that's so true. And remembering my grandfather helps me value that wisdom even more. So I'll close this reflection by sharing with you something that my friend and colleague and our counseling professor, Awa, showed me recently. So her mother designed and handcrafted this quilt for Awa's office. And it's really, really beautiful. It has this image of a tree that's inspired by the oaks that she saw when she visited our campus. And it has roots in the continent of Africa and the U.S. And sewn into this quilt are these charms, each one with a symbolic meaning. And this one in particular, I discovered, is known as a Sankofa. So you may know this already, but I just discovered it's the image of a bird who's facing forward with its head always turned around looking backwards. It's the word is from Ghana, and it means go back and get it. It's from a proverb that says, it's never wrong to go back for that which you've forgotten. So friends, may we be invited this day into deeper relationship with our roots, with those who've gone before us who otherwise might be forgotten, and with the one who remembers us all, who writes the story of each of our lives and interprets it with profound meaning, wisdom, and significance. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.